So, Alicia, when are we likely to be able to do the podcast then? Are we going to be able to do it today at some point? Probably.
I'm going to eat Alicia then.
So, you're not committing yourself fully to the chance of doing the podcast then?
Why is she eating me?
I'm eating her. Because she's my favourite food.
Okay. She's not as much use as anything else, is she? So she might as well be the one with dinner. So when are we likely to be able to do the podcast then? Is there a time scale you might be able to adhere to? Is that a yes or a no? So we won't be doing it tonight either.
Probably will be.
What time? What sort of time? There we go, listeners. That's what it's like trying to get Alicia to do record the podcast. I think that's made my point. Do you want to do the podcast, Isabella?
Yes.
Okay, then.
I like to do a way and a rant in the podcast.
You already did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like to do jingle bells and jingle all the way.
Do you?
Yes.
All
right,
then. But that doesn't really help me either, because that's actually got nothing whatsoever to do with... Oops. Steady on.
Dr. Amy and they will go under the ground another girl came in. Amy is gonna fall out the ground.
Nice. Fall out of the ground?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, there we go. Enjoy!
Services in conjunction with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 34 of the 20 megabyte podcast. I'm Adam.
And I'm Alicia.
Yes, a week to go to Christmas and we have snow, so the chances of the white Christmas have sort of increased slightly.
No, I don't think so. I think it's raining tonight, so all the snow will go.
Yeah, but vain doesn't really have anything to do with it, does it?
It's sunny all week.
That's the best chance of a white Christmas we've had in my lifetime.
No, I'm going to check the weather now. Bet you anything that we won't be getting a white Christmas.
You actually changed that website to a Doctor Who related page.
All right, but I'm going to check the weather now. Carry on.
It's got nothing to do with
Carry
the show.
Carry on!
No, I was just thinking... You at school.
Yeah, what
Obviously
about me at school?
On holiday now, but...
Yeah, I know.
We had a detention note come through.
Oh, yeah.
That said that you'd thrown some boy's book on the floor and refused to change seats. Then he came home and said, that wasn't me, that was...
Chanel Pearson.
So that was one of the best excuses for getting out of detention I've ever heard in my life. But nevertheless, it worked. You did actually get out of it.
It wasn't a lie, though.
Okay, well, I didn't say it was.
My dad is sunny on Friday, so we won't be getting a white Christmas, will we?
Right, can you change that to Doctor Who related website, please?
Like what?
I don't know. What did you do last time?
Don't know.
You can't remember.
Stuff.
Mm.
I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back. Sorry.
Yeah, so, new boyfriend as well?
Yes.
Yes. One that smokes?
Yes.
As do all your other friends at the age of 13.
Yes.
So, listeners, if you'd like to write in and explain to Alicia... I know she
I don't smoke!
She doesn't smoke herself, but why it'd be a good idea not bowing to... What's it called these days?
Fine, you win.
Pressure.
Fine, you win.
What's that mean?
It's snowing on Thursday night. That means there'll be snow on Friday and it'll be frozen ice on Saturday.
I think apparently it doesn't actually count as a white Christmas unless it actually snows on Christmas Day. That's what the rules state.
Oh, sorry.
But it would be nice if there's a sheet of snow on the floor, and it'd be better than we've ever had before.
Or a sheet of ice, you mean?
I've noticed you've managed to divert the attention from what I was originally trying to talk about.
Someone commented on my status and they'll say loved.
Can you change that to a Doctor Who related page, because all I'll do is I'll play Ben's bit now. So it's up to
Hold
you.
Hold on. I'm going to Google him. God. Pressure. Yeah, were you saying about my boyfriend?
No, it's too late now. I've moved on.
Aww.
I just want to just sort of talk about what things have sort of been happening in this week leading up to...
I'm going to have to choose my courses after Christmas.
Yeah, don't...
For my GCSEs. Yeah,
hang on, we're 3 minutes into the show. We're supposed to be talking about Doctor Who. Oh, TARDIS, haven't they?
Yes.
We've had some good feedback. Not feedback that I can read out on the show, but comments I've had on Facebook in relation to our appearance on the TARDIS Tavern, and very kind, especially from Lilibet the Wonder Girl, who sent me a personal message saying that it was really, really good, and I hope you all enjoyed it. And if you haven't listened to it yet, it's TARDIS Tavern. Your mum actually listened to some of that episode this morning.
Yeah, and she said I was absolutely rubbish.
No, well, she was laughing her head off in the car whilst listening to it. So
well, she said I was rubbish.
Well, it's slightly disappointing about the whole thing is that you can't be bothered to listen to it, and I think it's well worth listening to.
Because of CBA.
What?
Because CBA.
Oh. So, I'm sort of padding that bit out a bit because we haven't actually had any proper feedback this week. Come on, listeners. It's Christmas. What did I say last week?
Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy for you.
And what did I say last week? I said, come on, send in your Christmas messages. And
well,
I've got
I'm
Andre Tetter sent me a personal message on. Shut up a minute. Andre Tetter. He sent me a personal message on Facebook, and I'm just trying to reply to it. Oh, hang on, he says, this is really cool. He says, this is live messaging coming through whilst recording the show on my Facebook screen.
Okay, cool.
It says, hello, Andre in New York. Just wanted to say hi. Love the podcast. What on earth's happened? Was listening to the one where you are on the TARDIS Tavern the other day. Thanks for taking time to do them. Cool. Thanks, Andre. I will reply to that once my Facebook comes back online. So I've just replied to Andre that I'm recording the show right now, and it's to be interesting to see if he pipes up with anything in relation to that.
But you never tried it, Dad.
Well, we never had any problems.
No, but you never tried this. Type in 20 megabyte podcast into the internet, and it comes up with us.
And
the first four, and if you go on images, look, it's such a cool.
Yeah, it's our logo.
I love it, because when you type in Alicia Pearson, it comes up with me. It does, look.
Yeah, all right. Well, it will do, you're on Facebook.
No,
Google
look,
will find that image.
No, look.
This has got nothing to do with what we're supposed to be talking about.
Well, no, it's not. Yeah, it looks, see?
If you want to help us, because obviously it does cost money to produce this show.
Yes,
other podcasts... like, say, for Podchock have supporting subscribers. I know Michael Sims has tried to sell a few of his own personal items to fund his show.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a book, a novel, called The Diary of an Unwilling Virgin. If you'd like to buy a signed copy of that book, contact...
It's good.
Shush, it is good, I know. Contact me on Facebook or send me an email and we'll arrange for... you to have a copy of the book for an agreed price. The cover price is £8.99, but I'm quite willing to part with a copy for a fiver, plus postage. So contact me then, we'll arrange a PayPal transfer. That would be lovely, rather than going through the bottom,
Dad,
but not on eBay. Yep.
What's PayPal?
This is a banking thing via email. So that would be lovely if that could happen. Whowon.co.uk, Alicia. Would you mind having a look on whowon.co.uk?
Oh, for eBay, okay.
Our illustrious sponsors. And see what's on there this week. Yes, listeners, whowon.co.uk is whowone.co.uk, not WHO the number one, as Alicia made the mistake. So I'm sure if Alicia makes that mistake, listeners may make that mistake themselves. And they are Doctor Who specialists based here on the Isle of Wight. And they basically are a shop selling Doctor Who memorabilia and collectibles. And their latest product is the DWM 429, along with the Pandorica Opens book by Frank Collins. And Dalek Supreme, price £9.99, plus postage of £1.50. I don't know what their postage is for overseas. I'm sure they'll arrange something for you. And of course they've got the Dalek Eternal and Dalek Scientist. These are the different coloured Daleks. The Supreme is white, the Eternal is yellow, Scientist is orange, the Strategist is blue. Isabella's favourite is the Eternal. And these are all to do with the 5-inch posable action figures, of which
they're always coming out, you know, quite regularly, aren't they, Alicia?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Yes, in relation to feedback...
We haven't got much.
Well, the thing is, I actually posted a thing on Facebook saying we haven't got much feedback this week, or any for that matter, so I did actually get a reply to this. And Graham Sheridan said, sorry about this. Sorry about the lack of feedback. Work snow, working mostly out of the snow, 15.35-hour shifts, and it's snowing again.
As if, where does he live?
Germany, as if 30 centimetres wasn't enough.
How right. Deep's that?
So that's Graham's excuse. What do you think of the standard of Graham's excuse?
Well, if there's loads of snow, yeah, wouldn't he have more time to go on a computer and write feedback?
Not if he's working. Rob Lansdowne says, unfortunately, I was drunk when I listened to the last episode and can't remember a lot about it. Based on your usual performance, I can only assume it was very good. I think that's really rude, Alicia.
I just yawned. Is that all right?
Well, in the middle of me reading out somebody's thing, I think that's really rude.
I found it quite funny.
Andy Nunny said, only listened to it Thursday and haven't had time apart from I was robbed. I think he's referring to the Jelly Babies thing that was won by Kirby Bartlett's line last week.
You're making me hungry. I can't be hungry.
The funny thing is, was I get that I got that buy one get one free. So there is another packet of Jelly Babies, which I would have been quite willing to give to the best bit of feedback to come this week, but as we didn't get any.
Ooh, it's got some good stuff on the Who Won website.
Yeah, what, like what?
I just noticed, and I say, looking down the coming soon thing, they've got a Pandorica collection.
Have they?
Yes.
I think I've seen that. Yeah. It's got a stone Dalek. Well, Dalek, it looks like it's made out of stone.
I think so.
And the Pandorica itself.
Yeah, you can build, it's like a built, the seat, the DVDs are on the Pandorica. And it's, that is $59.99, and you get 5-inch figures with it.
If I should say that, but...
It includes MP3 free CD audio book as well.
One of the...
It's a very good price, to be honest.
One of the newspapers had a Doctor Who giveaway of a DVD which contained End of Time and...
Sun?
I don't know. The End of Time and 11th Hour.
Ooh, I think you might be interested in this
because
one.
Of the snow, I wasn't able to get to Newport and get my copy of it, and I was going to get it and then give it away as a prize on the show, but unfortunately that all fell apart.
Dad, the second Doctor book set is coming out.
Is it?
Yeah, £25.
Oh, well, that's great. That's a CD, though. That's not bad, though. You get all the CD audios.
Yeah, it's four CDs.
No, it's only four CDs.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not too sure that's what much good. It might be worth getting.
It contains two stories, Prisoners in Space and US Dog.
Pirates. Prison in Space? Oh, that's a Big Finish, isn't it?
It is a Big Finish.
No, Big Finish production.
I don't know. Don't believe me.
Is it really worth crying about?
Well, to me it is. Okay.
There was a chap that came into the co-op this week, and he was wearing a long coat, he had a long beard and long hair, and an extremely long scarf with varying different coloured stripes in it. And he walked past and I said, that's some scarf. And he went, thank you. I should have actually said, don't like Doctor Who by any chance, do you? But I didn't, and I think I missed out a bit there. And he must have been a Doctor Who fan. I think only Doctor Who fans wear ridiculously long scarves that have got different stripes in it. And the other thing I picked up on this week, did you watch the Royal Variety performance, Alicia, this week?
Yes, I did.
Did you notice who was doing the voiceover on it? Tom Baker was doing the voiceover on it. Did you notice?
No,
that,
he wasn't.
Yes, he was. Tom Baker did the... And now, darling...
That wasn't Tom Baker.
Michael McIntyre.
That wasn't Tom Baker.
He did the voiceover on it. Podcast of the week this week. Now,
podcast of the week. Dun, dun, dun.
I have written down here, Bigger on the Inside, episode 53, which was, as I'll put down in brackets, beyond awesome. They had their normal show, which covered...
You did not just say awesome.
Shut up, which covered two of the best stories ever, which culminated in Talons of Wang Chiang. Yeah, Ken Deep and Nicholas Briggs and Michael Sims are bigger on the inside. We're all on this panel at and a couple of others at Chicago TARDIS talking about podcasting, and it was really, really interesting how people were, you know, how that
got this?
In Chicago TARDIS. I said it.
What's that?
It's a convention in America, in Chicago, funny enough, because it's called Chicago TARDIS.
Oh, I was going to say.
And, yeah, basically I did a question and answer session on podcasting and how they got into it. And things like that, and really, really good. But then I ended up listening to the most recent episode of Podshock, and they had the Happiness Patrol team on it. Oh my goodness! And they were talking about TARDIS building and stuff like that. And
that sounds interesting.
It was interesting. It was brilliant. So how are you supposed to choose between those two podcasts? Apart from the fact that Louis Trapani was on the actual Happiness Patrol podcast as well. So the past podcasting this week has been outstanding and really difficult to choose podcast of the week. But I'm going to go with the bigger
drum
on the
roll.
Inside.
Wow. You missed the drum roll.
Because I must admit, even though the Happiness Patrol section of a Podshock was really, really good, I can't remember much about the other parts of the show that were on it. And the whole of the Bigger on the Inside episode was really fantastic.
What was it about?
I just said at the beginning what it was all about. I'm not going to
repeat myself. Oh, the Chicago convention thingy, Bob.
No, I'm not going to repeat myself. You should have been listening when I said at the beginning.
Sorry.
And, yeah, so... Well, I'm going to get moody if you're not going to listen to me when I'm speaking.
Someone's a bit of stress.
I think we better move on to eBay.
Yay. Well, that's my section. Go away.
Well, while you're trying to look at your section go away, I'll be looking at some other sections.
Yeah, but I've already done that.
Have you?
Who won, so... Eh? I can't click. There you go. My hands
I've got a message.
Oh, you left!
Merlin McCarley wishes ye a happy Grimbo. Thank you, Merlin.
You know the unique collection?
Yeah, they've changed the picture.
No, it's gone.
Eh?
It's gone. We've got a new one.
Really, which is rare unique collection.
No, stop it. Right.
Well,
shh.
Read out what it says.
Doctor Who, rare unique collection, extension, chess pieces.
Oh.
Chess pieces.
Oh, chess pieces.
For £5,000.
Same price, funny enough, isn't it?
Let me have a look. Yeah.
Yeah, well...
A bit expensive for £5,000.
What are they made of?
Pounds.
Gold?
I think it might be the same person, actually. You've got Paul McGann in it, like a little Paul McGann. You've got Grace, you've got Cheng Li, the master. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's listing, like, chess pieces kind of thing. So Grace is the queen, Cheng Li is a knight, the master is a king. The black bishops are the devil. I can't say that.
Davros?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that say Omega?
Omega.
What does that say?
Omega!
What's that?
Omega.
No, that?
Character from
what's
Doctor.
That?
Oh, can't see your finger. Morbius.
And
what?
He helped me with this.
Jack.
The Black Knights are the people like that. Red Queens, Asos, and Zoe, Joe, Grant, Tegan, Perry, and Ace. Well, you get 26 chess pieces, two missing of all the collection.
Oh. So do you think it's worth 5,000?
No.
Oh. So you wouldn't
about
be...
200?
Oh.
At least 200.
Okay. You think it's still worth 200 quid?
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, it is so.
So you're gonna instead of communicating with Melanie Butcher, can you go back to what you're supposed to be doing?
No, come on, that is not worth £5,000.
No, it isn't. So can you?
What would you? If you had it, what would you put up for? £2.50.
Shut up, you were doing. Can you get on, please, with what you're supposed to be doing?
Try and look for the most bids. Full size toilet police box, 2 bids.
Yeah, and is that the highest item?
No.
Well, she's just said it's got 2 bids against it.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to look down now.
Well, can you talk about the front that's top of the list that's got bids against it, please?
Well,
otherwise, I'll do it myself.
Alright.
You just did.
No, because I'm just scrolling down to see if there's one with more bids on it.
No, the one that's got any bids on, that's the most expensive item, that means it will be sold for a lot of money.
Yeah, that's the highest one.
Tell me about it then.
Full-size TARDIS police box Doctor Who. £1,550.
Oh, that's superb. Oh, that is lovely.
Pick up only.
Whereabouts is it?
2 days remaining.
If only. That's lovely. And it's got two bids against it, too. It looks really nice. I have actually literally got a pain in my neck. And I've got a pain on my left hand side. You're sat on my right hand side. So basically, I've got a complete pain in my neck on both sides.
I can't find the location for you, okay? Oh, Devon. You're Devon, then?
Number two on that list, please.
Okay.
Still not doing it. Where's my phone?
My internet's been slow. Is that you as well? Oh, full-size police box, TARDIS, again. That's one bid, $1,300.
It's done it now. Sorry. 1,300 full-size, another poor TARDIS.
Yeah. People like TARDISes for Christmas, obviously.
Then maybe I will listen to Podshot this week. So that's, is that the top three, or is there another one?
No, it's another one. That's not, they're all by now, after that.
Cool.
Yep, that's it.
So it's basically TARDISes are the thing this week on...
Yeah, because it's kind of a good Christmas present, ain't it?
It's a brilliant Christmas present. I wouldn't object to having one.
Yeah, but you have no room.
Pardon?
We have no room.
In the garden. We'd have it in the garden.
Yep.
Have you seen anything Doctor Who related on the telly recently? Apart from we saw the trailer, didn't we?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. I can tell you something.
Go on then.
I read Matt Smith and whatchamacallit was her name?
Usually known as Karen Gillan.
Yeah, Karen Gillan were in the magazine I read on Saturdays. The one that comes through the Sun, they had an interview in there, and I read it about Doctor Who.
You actually read something about Doctor Who?
Yeah, it was an interview about...
So what did it say?
Saying their time on Doctor Who and stuff like that, and their love life. How they work around their love life with Doctor Who. And
they both have a love life with Doctor Who?
Yeah, Callum Graham's got a boyfriend.
Oh, lucky sod. Notice what actually specifically about the trailer that I saw, that there was lots of complaints about the fact that the Doctor in Death of the Doctor was wearing a different shirt to the one he'd been wearing in the series. Yeah?
Yes. He was wearing that same
shirt in the Christmas special. It's a blue, like a sky blue shirt. So obviously that's now the shirt he's going to be wearing. Right, let's move on to the news. Doctor Who close-up exhibition at Land's End in Cornwall is closing on the 3rd of January. The sods.
What?
They're closing down the exhibition in Cornwall.
Why do they keep closing down every exhibition?
They're trying to sort of rebrand Doctor Who presentations and things. So, Karen Gillan wants to raise awareness for Eden Court Theatre. So, everybody, Eden Court Theatre.
Woo!
Fish Fingers of Custard, issue 3, the third issue of the fanzine.
I didn't know that was going to go off. I'll leave it.
Fish Fingers and Custard is out now, and it can be downloaded or purchased in print from the website. Oh, by the way, when I used to pop into the Saint radio station, Alicia...
What radio station?
I used to pop into the Saint radio station to talk about the books that I have.
Isle of Wight Radio.
And there, Isle of Wight Radio is a good point. When I used to pop in there, what is banned during recordings?
Phones.
Why is your phone switched off?
Didn't know my phone was going to go off.
The best way of stopping it from going off is turning it off.
I don't want to turn it on.
I'd beware what you do to this program. Because you are the great podcast saboteur, and Ben is the great podcast saviour. And eventually...
Thanks.
Well, that's the case.
I'm leaving.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas from Doctor Who Confidential. The BBC has released information for next Saturday's Doctor Who Confidential, which broadcasts immediately after A Christmas Carol on BBC and BBC HD. or the behind-the-scenes merriment of a good old-fashioned Doctor Who Christmas. Meet the Doctor and his companion as they set Cardiff alight and go backstage with the stars of a Dickensian Christmas special. So there we go. Alicia has now vacated the proximity.
I'm not coming back until you say sorry.
I'm not going to say sorry because you're still texting. Back. You're still texting and you're still on Facebook and MSN. The BBC has confirmed the times that the red button preview of A Christmas Carol announced this last week will be available. Following internet sensation of video blogger Charlie McDonnell as he gives you an exclusive insight behind the scenes of Christmas Carol, and watch out for some extra special festive treats along the way. Check back each day at 6 p.m. for the latest update. So Sky will be seeing it on Tuesday the 21st from 5:30 p.m. 6:30 a.m. on Wednesday the 22nd. That's probably Sky via the BBC thingy. And on Wednesday the 22nd from 5:30 till 12 mid or a.m. That's probably midnight on Saturday the 25th. Which one? Saturday the 25th. Oh, Christmas, isn't it? So there you go. Red button previews. That's really a major spoiler, so I don't think I'd bother with that if you don't want to have any spoilings of the Christmas special, which obviously most of the people in the world are going to see around about the same time. This is why our review of the programme can go out fairly quickly afterwards. Matt Smith and Karen Gillan in Sunbuzz. So it's a Sunbuzz magazine, apparently. Is that what you were talking about, Alicia, by the way?
Yeah.
That really is about it. I'm quite surprised there's not a lot of Doctor Who news at the moment. Catherine Tate will feature on Sky One's Little Crackers tomorrow, on Monday. And
I need to record that.
Do you?
Yeah.
You know when you're the microphone, pointless to even say anything. So that rather concludes Doctor Who news this week. Oh, it's a shame, considering what an important week this is for Doctor Who. If you know, think about the fact we've got an episode coming up on Saturday.
I'm just a bit, sorry listeners, I'm just a bit annoyed tonight.
Why are you annoyed then?
I've just had a stressful week.
In what way?
Arguments.
Yeah, well.
I'm just a stressful week, that's why I'm in a mood.
I get stressed out when I feel that you're not, it's easier to pay attention to what we're doing on the programme if you're not communicating with other people during the show.
I'm sorry, do you forgive me?
No, not really, no, because I've asked you week after week and week after week just to put it down while we're recording.
Okay.
No, you're saying okay and then you won't.
No, I promise. I promise. Pinky?
No.
Pinky.
You lie and blag your way through
pinky,
every time
pinky.
And always go back on what you say.
Pinky.
And you never keep a promise.
No, I pinky this time. I always keep my pinkies, please. Pinky promise.
Series 9 began with Day of the Daleks. Now, Day of the Daleks is probably the...
I think I remember that story.
Yeah, go on then. Well, what do you remember about it?
I'm not... If you go on about it, I just remember the name. I
what, because it's got Daleks, and you're saying you haven't watched lots of Daleks stories?
I like Dalek stories. So that's what I mean. So if you go on about it a bit, I might be able to identify.
Day of the Daleks was probably the earliest story that I probably saw, because, as I said, on the TARDIS Tavern, I remember going around to the playground doing the I am a Dalek and stuff like that. When I was in what you would call reception class.
I used to do that at primary school in year 4.
Yes, well, basically it was set in modern day, as most of Pertwee's stories were, but there was a bit of a time twist because there were some time-travelling Daleks and people, actually some people that wanted to travel back to the present day to assassinate a politician at some sort of like big world meeting of some variety. In fact, it was Sir Reginald Stiles. He'd actually organised like a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And these people from the future wanted to come down and blow up this press conference because apparently things that happened at it affected things from then on. But I think that sort of the gist of the story is that obviously Joe ends up somehow going into the future and getting kidnapped by this bloke who's a puppet of the Daleks. And it turns out that they were caught in a paradox. Their explosion caused the change that they were trying to prevent. So that was basically it. And I've just actually told you this, just the story. You've been talking to Shannon and
actually,
all the other people. And
I actually do know what we're talking about. So
go on then.
Something about time traveling Daleks.
Yeah, I've told you that. How come you're what?
How come I remember the title?
Well, if I said Planet of the Daleks and any other thing of the Daleks, you would recognise it being a Dalek story, would you not?
No, but I recognise the titles, so I never remember the stories kind of thing.
You do. If you don't, if you pay attention,
okay,
you're not
then,
paying attention.
Go.
You're talking to Shannon MSN. Apparently, there's a double entendre. Do you know what a double entendre is?
Nope.
It's where people say something that could be construed as being rude. When a Dalek said...
What, a beep?
No, rude, not a swear word. A Dalek said, no one can withstand the power of the Daleks. That's not a double entendre.
That isn't a double entendre.
Some trivia. The story's on-screen title is Day of the Daleks, although it was incorrectly referred to in the Radio Times listing. And on the later BBC video release, as The Day of the Daleks. There you go. Magic, shut up. And apparently BBC News reporter Alex McIntosh appears as himself in episode 4. There you go. Terry Nation was not consulted in advance about the use of the Daleks in this story, and when he found out about it, this led to a row between him and the BBC. Although Terence Dix recalls such a dispute, Barry Letts does not, and it is clear from the contemporary BBC documentation that it is Letts who was correct. Nation was consulted in advance, and his agents, ALS Management, confirmed in a letter dated the 22nd of April 1971 that he had no objection to the Daleks being used in a story for the 1972 season. That clock is almost as annoying as you are.
Isn't it more annoying?
No, almost as. At least it shuts up at some point. The next story was called Curse of Peladon. There's a picture there. That might help you remember it. Right, the next story was A Curse of Peladon. Look at the picture. Alpha Centauri,
yeah,
Ice Warrior.
Yeah.
And whatever. Yes, yeah, so Doctor and Joe actually managed to test fly the TARDIS and it lands on a cliff. They get out of it and then it falls down the cliff almost instantly. So they have to make their way into these sort of caves that turns out to be the Kingdom of Peladon. The King Peladon falls in love with Joe fairly quickly, and the Doctor is blamed for a murder, I think, and then is very suspicious of the Ice Warriors, who in previous stories have been baddies, but in this story are actually goodies. And I quite like that twist. Do you remember it? The Ice Warriors being goodies in this story?
I think so, yeah.
You don't?
No.
There's a character called Hepesh, who was trying to manipulate things, the politics of the planet, to run in his way of thinking, by using Agador, which is a great big beastie thing. Do you remember the great big beastie thing?
No.
Do you remember Agador?
No.
There was John Pertwee with that spinny thing on his sonic screwdriver. She'd span and he'd sing a lullaby to him. Harun, Harun, Harun.
Yes, I do know.
Oh my God, you should remember something. All in all, it's a bit of a classic and I quite like it. Apparently there's a bit of a dialogue triumph, according to this thing, that says that Islia says, "We reject all violence except in self-defence." And Hepesh says, I wanted to save our world, to preserve our old ways. Perhaps I was wrong. And Peladon says, I hope so. Your future, which you set so much store by, is yours now. And Joe Grant, in a dialogue disaster, says to Peladon, I don't understand you. One minute you're condemning the Doctor to death, and the next you're proposing to me. Oh, you're proposing to me. And the double entendre for this episode was, there is no plot. I am being completely honest with you. How is that a double entendre?
I don't know. How do you read that word anyway?
What, double entendre?
Yeah.
I don't know. Trivia, this story is an allegory of the UK's accession to the common market, a highly topical issue at the time of its original transmission. And David Troughton played King Peladon, and he shared a flat with the future Dr. Colin Baker at the time. Did you know that?
No.
He was also the son of Patrick Troughton. There's a few goofs, sorry. The Doctor is nearly hit by a swinging secret passage door in episode one. Jo's hair straightens when she climbs back into the Citadel, and things like that. So there we go. That was The Curse of Peladon, an all-time classic. Next story is called The Sea Devils.
Ooh.
There's a picture.
I know what sea devils are, Dad.
What's the significance of the sea devils then, Alicia?
And you've learned... The sea.
The microphone is here.
Oh, isn't this episode with the Master?
Well, most of these. Yes, it is. Yeah,
and isn't he in a castle or something?
Yes, and what's the deal?
Oh, yeah, and him and the Doctor have kind of like a fight kind of thing.
Yes.
And the sea devils come out from the sea onto a beach.
Yes, and the other significance of this story in relation to where we live is...
It's the fort is in middle of Solon, ain't it, or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and Norris Castle, where the Master was being imprisoned, is in East Cowes.
What's this about
but
to say?
But we talked about this.
That's what I was just about to say.
So basically, you remember quite a lot of this story.
Yes.
Hurrah! So there's no point in me talking about the trivial thing about stuntman Stuart Fell, who actually also played Alpha Centauri in the previous story. He doubles rather unconvincingly for Katie Manning in the scene in episode one where Jo climbs up a ladder to the sea fort. The Doctor reverses the polarity of the neutron flow that only occasionally he does during the Pertwee era. Well, that's one of his crash phrases, and that's the episode he does it in. I thought it was quite interesting.
Dad!
Yeah. We're just looking at the preview for the new series that David Walliams and Matt Lucas are doing.
Dad.
Oh, it's a Doctor Who.
See, just what, is it one Doctor Who thing after another?
It's actually on. Time could be written. It's actually on the telly now, as we speak. The Doctor with his... new
oh my
shirt.
God, did you just see that? Amy's back in her police uniform.
Is she?
Yes.
Oh, that's rewind,
I swear
that.
On my life
There's
I just
no need
saw
to
that.
Swear. That's the job of the TARDIS Tavern and the Happiness Patrol and 11th Hour Podcast.
Play.
Right, we have a Dalek wandering through customs holding a duty-free thing and looking at the...
A hotel. Yeah.
Everyone's home for Christmas.
So special about Christmas. I despise Christmas. It's Christmas Eve.
That's for little boys.
Shush!
They ask Father Christmas.
Time can be
rewritten.
Oh, yes!
Time can be
rewritten.
What,
look! You see it?
Yeah.
Time can be rewritten. People can't
believe it.
Time can be rewritten.
You see it?
Yeah. Well spotted, Alicia.
No wonder in the Christmas pack she's dressed in. That's why they're bringing out a figure of her in the police uniform, because she's like
but
it in the Christmas fashion.
She says time can be rewritten. So she's wearing that. Is interesting, isn't it? Is that a spoiler? I do not know. I couldn't say. It does rather digress from what we're talking about in relation to the Sea Devils.
Oh, you should be praising me.
Well done, Alicia. Has to happen once an episode, I suppose. Next story is the mutants. There we are, mutants, Alicia.
No.
Now, the significant thing for me about the mutants, so basically they're on another planet and there's these creatures that are changing into some insecty thing and they're trying to keep these creatures away from the other creatures, but it turns out that actually these creatures are in a long sort of metamorphosis thing and they're all naturally supposed to do these changes. But they were in the story itself was the worst acting ever in Doctor Who. Very close to second worst acting, which was a character in Planet of Spiders. But this actor was diabolically bad.
Magic! Carry on.
There was Stubbs, Cotton, Joe and the Doctor, the main characters in the story, and the character, I believe, was called Cotton, and he was absolutely such a bad actor, it basically overshadowed the whole production. He was a black, sort of like guard character. I'm just trying to see if they've got his, oh, here we are. Cotton, played by Rick James. Absolutely terrible. And they might as well have got the bloke sweeping the studio floors to come and play the part, because he was so bad. Almost as like your sort of stand of acting. I'm joking. The next story was called The Time Monster, of which I've actually watched this quite recently. The Doctor and Joe, Gitty are sort of embroiled in a sort of timey-wimey thing in which they end up going back to ancient Atlantis. And the Queen of Atlantis is played by Ingrid Pitt, who died quite recently. We did discuss that on the show a few weeks ago. Do you remember
that's
anything?
That's not recent.
There was a sort of like a flappy sort of monster that's supposed to eat time called Kronos. And there was a scene in which Jo is kidnapped by the Master and she's in the Master's TARDIS. And they're like...
No, I don't remember that, sorry.
Master in his guise of Professor... what the hell does that say? I can't say that. Anyway, he's constructed this machine that... it basically has ways of manipulating time, and you see the Brigadier going in slow motion, and the Doctor will move normally because he's a Time Lord. Basically, he's trying to gain control of Kronos the Master so as he can take control of the universe. But as per usual, he doesn't work out the fact that Kronos would rather do that himself. I think that's basically the gist of it. And basically the gist of you is you don't remember any of these stories.
I remember the Sea Devil one.
Oh, fair enough. All right, good. The next story, and the last one we'll be talking about.
The Three Doctors, I remember this one.
No, tell us about
it. I remember William Hartnell on the TV screen in the TARDIS.
Yeah, come and listen.
Yes, and Patrick Troughton was trying to find his recorder in the TARDIS, and he couldn't find it, and right at the end of the story, he found it and played a little tune on it.
No, that's not quite what happened. At the end of the story, the actual... recorder was actually held within a force field, and where they were in the world of antimatter, that Omega's world, the recorder was still matter. So when matter comes in contact with antimatter, big explosion, and that recorder caused a bit of explosion when Omega knocked it out of the Doctor's hand at the end of the story, where they ran into the TARDIS to get away from it. But don't you remember anything else of the story?
No, I just know I enjoyed it.
Well, everybody, I'm not going to talk about the story of the Three Doctors, because if you're a Doctor Who fan and you haven't seen the Three Doctors...
You're just not a Doctor Who fan.
Well done. That's precisely what I was going to say.
It's really good. Even I enjoyed it, and that's saying something.
A lovely story, because of the Doctors all in it, especially the fact that Patrick Troughton's in it, mostly for me. Right, so that really covers it now, Alicia, and the listeners will be quite pleased to hear some proper Doctor Who chat with me and Ben as we discuss... Logopolis.
Bye!
Hello, my name's Toby Haydock, which will probably excite and annoy in equal measure. You're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Continue so to do.
And here we are with the, hopefully the new ongoing item, which I'm calling, because I haven't got a very good imagination, Ben's Bit.
I like the title of that.
Oh, good. That's all I can say about that, really. Where we actually try and do what Alicia doesn't try and do, we're actually going to talk about episodes of Doctor Who. Well, stories. Stories stroke episodes of Doctor Who. And we're doing this week Logopolis for two reasons. One, it's the, like I said last time, it was the episode that instigated my Doctor Who fandom rather than my Doctor Who viewership. And two, that was a two, but I can't remember what it was now. I just thought it was a really good one to start off with, really. So, yeah, I haven't watched it, I hate to point out, because I've watched it so many times, I should be able to remember what happens in it off the top of my head. But I'll tell you one thing that struck me about thinking when I was thinking about it, is that at the time I watched it, I was quite disappointed with Nyssa. I thought she was a bit wooden, character-wise. I was delighted with Janet Fielding's character, because I thought she was gorgeous, and irritated by Adric.
Well, I have to be honest with you, Adam. I actually watched it again last night because I thought, oh, it's good to get a refresh, is not. And I think the one, yeah, all the assistants irritated me at times last night. Especially, yeah, Nyssa, she was a very wooden actress, wasn't she? The character really didn't have a lot of emotion to it, a lot of anything. You know, you couldn't really tell a lot by her. She did get better, I think, a little bit as her tenure in the TARDIS went on. But, yeah, in what was only her second episode, she was...
Yeah.
Not brilliant, was it? I think the character could have had a little bit more depth to it and a little bit more emotion.
Yeah.
Adric, I always quite like Adric.
I'm fond of it now. I have a soft spot for it because obviously the way Adric went out in Earthshot was phenomenal legendary and still is. But at the time, I found him irritating. Not quite in the line of what a Doctor Who companion should be.
Well, I'll agree with you on that point then. I mean, the thing is, I'm going on, obviously, impressions from more last night from the first time I watched it. With you, though, this was actually the first episode that I can actually remember sitting down and watching on Saturday night on BBC One. I remember watching all four episodes of it. And like you, it's the thing that got me really into being a big Doctor Who fan, so it's one of those standout episodes for me, too. The thing I do like about one of the assistants in it is Tegan as well, actually. It's the phrases she comes up with.
strike a light! Oh, she didn't say that, did she?
No, not quite strike a light. Strew, throw another shrimp on the Barbie.
Yeah.
When she's wandered into the TARDIS after changing the spare wheel, or trying to change the spare wheel on our auntie's sports car on the side of the road, and she's running around looking for demanding to see the captain of this ship, which I thought was a little bit strange, the fact that she worked out instantly it was a spaceship. You know, you wouldn't instantly kind of go, oh, it's a police box, bigger on the inside, must be a spaceship. I don't think. I mean, I may be wrong in thinking that, but it's certainly, you know, she kind of like, it was almost, she walked in and went, right, where's the Doctor? This must be Doctor Who. I recognize this. Or something like that. But, she was... she comes up with some good phrases as she's running around the inside of the TARDIS. And, just one more try to try and get out of the inside. And then the other thing that that struck me as I was watching the episode last night was the fact that, obviously, in the new series of Doctor Who, the TARDIS, when it materialises and dematerialises, normally is quite noisy, and you get lots of wind, don't you?
Yes.
As it's landing, and, you know, lots of blowiness going on. But the TARDIS disappeared, the Master's TARDIS disappeared from behind Tegan's back in the Agopolis, and she didn't even notice it had gone.
Didn't the bike fall over when one of them...
That was when it was outside. The Doctor tried to obviously materialise his TARDIS around the outside of an old police box so he could get the dimensions
so
he could try and fix the chameleon circuit. Obviously, you know, that's what he was impressed by, the Master's TARDIS in Keeper of Traken. And I do love the way, by the way, Tom Baker says Traken every time he says Traken. Brilliant. But yeah, the Doctor tries to materialise his TARDIS around the outside of a proper police box, but misses first time. He's like 6 foot away. Second time he manages to do it, and that's when the little police bike falls over, which later on Adric pretends he's fallen off to cause a diversion to allow the Doctor to escape police custody, because for some reason the police think that the Doctor has shrunk a policeman and Tegan's arm.
Yes, because the Doctor wears a t-shirt that says scapegoat on it.
Yes. I think that was the label on his scarf.
No, it's like the current Doctor has that to psychic paper. He has a psychic scarf that clearly states to people who see it that he is the person who's done whatever has happened. Any bad
guilty.
It was me. Yeah. I did it.
Guilty as a puppy sitting next to a pile of poo. Yeah. It's black. But yes, look, where were we? We were talking what was
about,
going on.
TARDIS's landing and stuff, and Adric going off trying to use the bike as a decoy, etc.
Yes, but then obviously they get back into the TARDIS, and before all of that, they have the TARDIS within the TARDIS within the TARDIS within the TARDIS scenario.
Oh, I love all that stuff.
Which was the thing I loved about that, and I watched the little documentary that comes on the DVD with it after I'd watched the full episode last night, and they said that was something that they'd only thought of when they were writing The Keeper of Traken, because of something that had gone on in that episode. Sorry,
Traken.
Throck, and they thought,
darling,
let's do an adventure, you know, based around the TARDIS within the TARDIS within the TARDIS within the TARDIS. Which, they did quite successfully for the first two episodes of this adventure.
Yeah, I seem to remember quite liking a few things about a Doctor at that stage. One was lots of interior TARDIS scenes. Two was lots of flying around the place. I don't know what I like so much. No, I seem to like the bits where they're in the TARDIS. And this episode is very TARDIS based.
The console room always did hold a special thing, didn't it?
Yes.
In the old series of Doctor Who, because I mean, it was just so like, wow. You know, I mean, now you look at it, and it's like, wow. But because you know, obviously, you're a few years older than me, but only
how dare you?
Not many, you know. Okay. Still, I'd have been. When was this? This was 1981, so I'd have been six.
All right. I think you're giving a bit too much away there.
Yeah. but no, the interior of the TARDIS has always been a high point of fascination for everyone. And as you say, there's lots of it in this episode, especially when they're going from within one TARDIS to the next TARDIS to the next TARDIS. And the only thing they do is slightly dim the lights.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, and a bit of orange as well, isn't it? Castrovalva, which really was a bit like, may turn this into like an eight-part story in a way, because that was a lot of, continued with the interior TARDIS sort of vein, if you like. But not as good a sort of story, in my view, too. Although quite good, not as good as Logopolis.
And, of course, you've got to see in Logopolis when Tegan wandered in.
Yeah.
She was wandering around corridors that, you know, you don't see. And, of course, at the beginning of the episode, because they've just lost Romana, well, I say lost Romana.
And K-9.
They've just left. He's still pretty upset about her going, and you see her room, which, you know...
Yeah, well, you did see it in Warrior's... Not Warrior's Gate, what was it? Full Circle, Romana's room, didn't you?
You did, but it got jettisoned. Oh, God, hold on. You can
that's
do an
word.
Edit
there. I know
he
what you
got
said.
Jettisoned in Logopolis, didn't he? He jettisoned it.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah, so he did. There was other rooms jettisoned in Castrovalva, wasn't there? Including
yeah, there was actually. There was quite. He had to get rid of quite a lot of the TARDIS in Castrovalva, if I remember rightly.
hence those two stories written by the same writer.
Yes, yeah, you can see the link there, can't you? Yeah. He obviously didn't like the interior of the TARDIS and wanted to get rid of as much as he could in his two episodes.
So a brief synopsis is that the Doctor wants to fix the chameleon circuit, so he needs to find a police box to get mathematical sort of what they call it in the show. It was. Some strange transfer doodah, I can't remember what he called it now. He wanted to then take these sort of figures to Logopolis to which will then help him fix the chameleon circuit. But the master is trying to corrupt Logopolis, the newly sort of not generated, but you know, sort of body hijacked master. Master, who's supposed to be a genius, fails to see that if Logopolis falls apart, then the whole universe falls apart.
Not so much of a genius, really, is he?
Indeed. So, in the end, they end up collaborating, and I love the "I'm collaborating with the Master."
Do you know what? I did think a lot as they were at the end of episode 3, beginning of episode 4, as they shake hands on doing the deal and working together to try and save Logopolis. I couldn't help thinking of Nick Clegg and David Cameron.
I tell you, it was brilliant. He acted though. The expression on the Doctor's face when he was in pain when he shook the Master's hand.
Oh, he was.
Master was just full of glee. It was just it was a lovely scene that. And that whole sequence from then on, with, you know, leading up to the regeneration, it's just so on the edge of your seat sort of thing. You know what's coming. Yeah, you know, it's been because obviously we knew for the whole series that Tom Baker was leaving, so it was all build up to this particular thing and. It was great, and the way it was actually played out with the way they did the, you know, when he falls, apart from the sort of melodramatic acting from the companions, you know, their heads jerked so violently, you know, when he fell from the thing, the heads went straight down instead of gradually watching him fall down.
Actually, they all went down in slightly different times. that amused me. Although Tegan kind of went, boom, Adric and this, I went...
You would have thought they would have thought of the idea of the ping pong ball, wouldn't they? And just sort of somebody watch this and all, you know, do it like that. But yeah, but in that whole, obviously he's there and he's dangling and the camera zooms right into his eye. And I thought that was brilliant. And of course you see the all these sort of foes sort of flashback. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. I mean, at the time I found that, I mean, how old was I? Quite young. Very moving to see those particular things, because 7 years as a child is a very long time. And obviously I do remember John Pertwee, but you know, it was a quite big chunk of my life at that stage, probably about half of it, watching Tom as the Doctor and seeing all these characters come back in this short sequence, especially, you know, Sarah Jane, who was at that stage still my favourite companion, probably still is now actually, brought a lump to my throat. And of course then he falls down, and then they did another clever bit. Well, that was after he fell down, they did the companions, didn't they? The foes when he was hanging, companions when he was lying on the ground. And that was quite cleverly done, where they're all showing Doctor, Doctor, Doctor all the way through, and then the three that are beside him or whatever. And then
this moment has been prepared. It's the end, but this moment has been prepared for.
But the thing is, and I still don't like, although the whole that side of it's really good, what I don't like is the Watcher sort of scenario of how it hits the actual Doctor. It's his regeneration following him around to, and then they merge together. I didn't like it then, and I don't really like it now. I just wish they'd done he regenerated, you know, without this sort of, you seeing his future standing on in a field looking over and watching him, and then he goes over and has a chat with him, and the Watcher brings companions over to Lockopolis for a minute, and you know, it just, I just don't like that side of it. I do like the story, obviously it's important because it turned me into a Doctor Who fan, but I just wish they could have not had that and had him just regenerate.
I don't think it needed the Watcher. It seemed like that was they needed an extra couple of minutes to fill out the story, so they kind of like made that up to kind of hurry it, well, you know, to pad it out a bit. And I think if it had been a good idea, if people had liked it, they'd have done it again, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But the fact is, it only ever happened the once. It was an experiment which they tried, and you know, it wasn't particularly good. And I think what sums it up most of all is the fact that a lot of people at the time were probably watching it thinking, where did he come from? Is the fact that there's a very obvious added voiceover as he's, as the Watcher is moulding into Tom Baker lying on the floor, where, you know, Nyssa comes over and says, he was the Doctor all along.
Yeah.
And it's so obviously been put in after everything else.
Because they watched and thought, what's that all about?
Yeah, exactly. So it needed, you know, it wasn't explained enough until that point where they kind of like slapped you in the face with a wet fish and said, you've just been hit in the face with a wet fish. So I don't like it either, personally. And but what was really funny was Adrian Gibbs was the man who played the Watcher.
Yeah.
I didn't know that because I've got the DVD.
Oh, fantastic.
I did watch, as I say, the documentary about it after. It was actually about, you know, the whole regeneration thing and Tom Baker leaving after 7 years and what a difficult man he was to work with in the last couple of years of Doctor Who. And then you had this Watcher bloke who, you know, he was in it for about 5 minutes all in all, wasn't he? And he was always wrapped up in bandages. You didn't have a clue who the person was playing him inside it. And yet he was talking about him like his 5 minutes on Doctor Who, like he was the biggest actor that he'd won an Oscar for in the world. And you're sitting there thinking, mate, seriously, don't talk your part up that much. You weren't that good. There's one bit, a very funny bit actually, which kind of probably typifies how Tom Baker was in the last few years of working on Doctor Who. Even on the last scene that he was filming as the iconic character that he'd been playing, he was lying on the floor, and one of the directors said, right, now, Tom, if you put your arm up and beckon to the Watcher. And Tom was like, I don't want to beckon. I think I should just call to him or something. And he just like, yeah, God, you know, what a joy he must have been to work with.
I mean, I've seen that particular, that thing. I did find it quite fascinating, especially when, obviously, Tom had done his bit, and then he got up and then picked, just me of a dog's need to tell him, hang on.
I've never been interrupted by a dog on a podcast before.
It's like these dogs are always in front of interrupting podcasts. What did I get up to? Yeah, obviously, and then Peter Davison got down and sat in his place, and they were positioning him in his sort of crusty makeup. I was really interested. I quite enjoyed watching that. I'm so pleased they kept those bits, because a lot of that sort of stuff got chucked away, didn't it? And
for me,
important bit of television that behind the scenes television, which was kept. And,
Of course, it is absolutely fascinating to watch them do it.
Mm.
Because you think, that was 1980 when they were filming that, wasn't it?
So
the technology wasn't fantastic, but they play it like it, if you watched it in 80, you'd have thought, wow, that looks really, really good. Because some of the previous regenerations, especially the Pertweeter Tobacco one, I thought was a little bit
cheap.
Ropey. Yeah, it was.
Because it was, apparently, during that Sir Tom Baker was lying on a different part of the floor, and they just phased the one shot to the other. They didn't even like stop it, and sort of mix it together. They actually did that live during.
Did they really?
Apparently, so yeah. They positioned the cameras. John Pertwee was in one position. That's why it zoomed quite close in, and Baker was already lying in another position. And they just faded from one camera to the other during the actual recording.
That's so cheap.
Indeed.
But at least better than the Troughton to Pertwee regeneration, where he just fell out of the box and she never got.
Yes, but we talked about.
Anyway,
we've already talked about Series 6B. So.
Yeah, we're going back over ground you've probably already covered. But hey.
But the good thing about things like these the Watcher. I mean, there's so many Doctor Who fans are great at explaining away things they don't like. Like, for instance, the Doctor being half human is a slightly broken chameleon arc or whatever. Well, I would explain away the Watcher as maybe he was like the Time Lords had created him. Maybe the Doctor was having trouble regenerating, and they created him to actually find the Doctor as a bit of regeneration medicine to reinitiate his regeneration. Because obviously, there's a few times within Tom Baker's era that he should have regenerated and didn't, hence he'd been there for 7 years, whereas all most of the other doctors have been there like 3 or 4 years, and that's why I'd like to explain it away. There's still a mystery about the Watcher, and the Watcher maybe, like I say, could be like a living bit of Time Lord medicine, perhaps.
Well, I mean, it stands up apart from the fact that in Castrovalva, Peter Davison, obviously, like most doctors, have trouble. He has big troubles regenerating, doesn't he?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if the Watcher is some sort of, I'm sorry to blow your theory out of the water, Adam, but if the Watcher is some sort of like a regenerative medicine type thing, then he didn't get a full dose.
Well, maybe his sort of regeneration problems are so deep that all that medicine was able to actually use to kickstart the regeneration. Remember when obviously Pertwee changed into Baker, he was dead, wasn't he? And it needed a push from Camp and Rinpoche to get the regeneration going. And obviously it seems only an ongoing thing with the Doctor up to that point that he had trouble getting his regenerations going. And
he still does now, doesn't he? I mean, obviously Tennant, when he regenerated from Eccleston, he had a big long sleep and problems regenerating. Matt Smith seemed to get over it with a custard and fish fingers, however.
Sylvester McCoy's one never did get over. He's always a bit odd all the way through his tenure. But I'm diversing slightly from...
We are.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know how we got onto that subject. Yes. What were you on about? Hey, Logopolis, that was right.
Logopolis is where we are. Where have we got to? So we got to the part where... Doctor and the Master had said they're going to have to work together. They'd formed a Conservative Lib Dem pack to try and save Logopolis. And then they went in the Master's TARDIS back to Earth.
Because
the Master's TARDIS...
Where the Pharos Project was...
The Pharos Project, quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, unbeknownst to everybody, the Master tricked the Doctor.
No!
Would you?
Fiend!
Yeah, I know. Who would have thought that would have happened? After all of their scuffles over the years. You've got to blame the Doctor, really, for trusting the Master to start with.
Fool. Yes.
But then again, he was quite old and about to die.
But he was rather put in a bit of a corner, and he needed the help of her. But he didn't have much choice but to trust him, because he couldn't do it on his own.
No.
So he was just sort of...
He had no one else to help him, really, did he? So it was a case of... Then he got double-crossed, obviously, and he ended up having to crawl across the satellite dish.
Which is the master press those over buttons so deliberately. They're only like about 5 foot away from each button.
I will press one. I will press three. Yeah, moving his hand out. And the thing that got me as I was watching it again last night was, again, back to the fantastic graphics and stop animation films that they used to do Doctor Who back in the 70s and 80s, and the way the sets, as they were doing a long view towards the satellite dish of the set, was the same kind of thing that my big brother used to have on his toy railway set. You know, in fact, it was the bushes that you could pull from home. And a tiny little TARDIS that was so obviously been made out of plasticine. I chuckled.
Oh, that's what we love about Doctor Who, though.
But it was, though, absolutely. But you look at it now and you just think, really? did we watch that and think, that's good?
Yeah, but what we watched was the fact that we ignore those sort of things because the acting and the stories are so blooming good. That's basically what it was. And the actual whole scenario and world of Doctor Who and where it can take you in your mind.
Legopolis, you forgive the fact that they walk down the same street 53 times.
Which they do. They do that in New Who, though, don't they? Because it's the same Welsh roads a few times. So you're starting to recognise a Millennium Stadium concourse now, which is appearing virtually every single corridor episode going.
But exactly. But you look at it now and you think, wow, good. But you look over it. It doesn't matter. Mm. You just look at it and laugh and think, yeah, well, that's how it is. That's how it should be. That's how Doctor Who was, and that's why we loved it.
Absolutely, yes, indeed. So, conclusions on Legopolis, which is, like I say, the thing that kicked off my fandom is what? How would you conclude it?
Well, to conclude, as a general synopsis of the episode, some good acting, some rope. Tom Baker's scarf, the maroon long scarf, obviously.
Yeah, TARDIS Tara knits those. At a good price for charity, as Nathan pointed out. So if you want one that looks almost exactly like that one, you just go and contact TARDIS Tara. I can't remember her website, if you want one for Christmas and someone's got a bit of dosh to shell out, she'll
might
do
be
you
a bit
one
for Christmas now. Unless she's a really fast knitter.
All right, next Christmas.
That's my birthday in February.
Oh, yeah,
I get it. Thought I'd have that. And of course, you know, finishing off Series 18, finishing off Tom Baker's reign as a Doctor, as we've previously mentioned, the regeneration scene, which sticks out in probably every Doctor Who fan's mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
Left dangling by an electric cable.
Yeah.
Which I'm not quite sure how he's not getting electrocuted from, but hey ho, we'll let that go as well. The drop to the floor.
He's a Time Lord.
Well, yeah, that's it. He's immune to electricity, apparently. It's his scarf. It all gets chucked into his scarf, and he's all right. And then, obviously, he falls to the floor, regenerates, Peter Davison sits up, and kind of looks a little bit bemused. But apparently...
Probably because his hair's only brown. Of course, after a bit more regenerating, it sort of goes blonde by the time we get to the Castrofalva thing. So just to explain that one away.
Oh, that's because he had all that makeup on and everything, wasn't it? All the whites, which they took off in stages and...
That was what made his hair look brown?
Because so much stock put in his hair, it obviously just... or they hadn't dried it properly, because watching the little documentary thing again, it was very, very late at night, and back in those days, you know, if you're on a crew for something, you work till 10 o'clock, and that was it. Then it was down tools. They filmed that one, you know, late into the night. They filmed that scene about 10:30, where, you know, his first sitting up scene. And literally, they just said, "Right, sit up."
Because I remember being quite excited actually when, obviously, you know, looking forward to the next series and seeing a different Doctor in Tom Baker's outfit. That's what I was really looking forward to. And of course, Davison didn't look quite right in that outfit. The scarf was right around his neck and made it look like he didn't have a neck. He was so much of it around his neck. Excuse me. Apparently, he changed from boots to shoes during his regeneration as well.
Did he?
Yeah. And of course, as soon as he got into the TARDIS, started unravelling the scarf. I thought, But yeah, sorry, I'm rambling.
Pick you up on the point there. It is again one of the things that any Whovian looks forward to, is to see a Doctor in the previous Doctor's outfit.
And it's best illustrated when Colin Baker was walking around in Peter Davison's costume, and he just looks much better in that costume than Davison did, and he then subsequently did in his own costume.
Yeah, they were going to make that blue. Did you see all of that stuff?
I saw, that was for some radio play, wasn't it? The title of which skips my mind. It was for a cover of a CD.
Maybe we'll ignore that then.
Yes. Yeah. They did release a figure, didn't they?
They did, very limited edition one with a blue coat, that's right. And I think it looked better in blue than it did in the red, actually.
Oh, of course it did, yes, but they can't go back on that. It's a shame, because when I met Colin Baker at the Needles many, many years ago with my friend Alistair, and we had our picture taken on Bessie with Colin, Colin took off his coat and put it round Alistair. And I thought, oh, that's quite good. I'll take a picture with Alistair with a coat on, and then they'll do one with me with a coat on. But that didn't happen, so I should be quite grateful for what I get at the end of it. Just a picture of me, Colin, and Ali in the back of this this Bessie car. So, yeah. Never mind. That's me rambling again.
I'm wiping away the tears of... I was hoping that you'd get to have the coat round your shoulders, and then unfortunately... It never happened.
No, but I touched the thing, I suppose. But there you go. The coat, that is.
I'm all right. We can continue now, Adam.
So, on the whole, I'd say this is probably one of the most memorable, important Doctor Who stories of all time.
Definitely. And, of course, it was released in the New Beginnings box set with the Keeper of Chark and Castro Vespa.
Yes.
In it, which is one of those... brilliant story arcs that they, you know, kind of used to do, and have started releasing the DVDs in those little sets. And yes. Well, these three run consecutively from, you know, next to each other, so that made it even better to get the box set and sit down and watch all three of them, because they're, as you said and as I've said earlier, they're the ones that really got me into watching Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And having all three of them together to sit down and watch back to back.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. It's a shame. The scenario of watching lots of Doctor Who back to back, I don't get a lot of time to do that now, which is frustrating. And like I say, I would like to have watched Legopolis before doing this, but I didn't get the time to, unfortunately. I know. It's not just the fact that I remember it quite well, as also. But I mean, I suggest that next time I've got a random number generator, and it's generated number 220. Which on my list is Family of Blood.
So Family of Blood?
Yes.
The new Doctor?
Yes.
Oh, that's Tennant, wasn't it, Family of Blood? So.
Yeah, Tennant. Well, I did have it until it's just disappeared off my sheet. So would you be up for looking at that one next time?
Absolutely.
Then we'll do that, and I will have to watch that one, because most of the new Who stories I've only actually ever watched once. I was starting to watch them again with just commentaries.
Yeah.
With a second time, because they're quite interesting to hear the commentaries and that. But most of them, and that is one of them I've only ever seen the once, so I will definitely have to watch that one.
No, definitely. I'm looking at the DVD case of it right now.
Well, that's handy. That's a good reason. That it makes you buying your DVDs or acquiring your DVDs worthwhile.
Buying.
Well, I mean, you could have got... When I said acquiring, I thought I meant as Christmas presents and stuff. So, yes, it's Human Nature and Family of Blood would be our next discussion point. Has there anything that's popped up in the news recently that's sort of flagged up any interest?
Not that I've seen this week, but to be honest with you, I've been too busy doing research for our podcast, watching...
See, this is a sort of podcasting assistant I need. Unfortunately, after getting some feedback from the last show about Alicia's absence, it's clear that she had some fans. I hate to say it.
But, really?
So
has your wife been emailing in again?
Oh, no, she certainly wouldn't email in on stuff like that.
The dogs might,
I think they don't mind it. They're not fussy. They love everybody. So.
Well, I've met Alicia, so I could understand.
But for, to give her a due, obviously, we're recording this for episode 34. Alicia and I did episode 33 over the weekend, and she wasn't too bad. She did fall asleep when we started to talk about Series 8, so I stopped the recording when we did our weekend trip to JLS concert, came back and then resumed, and she wasn't too bad on that one, so...
I think at this point you should clarify that you didn't go into the
No,
jail.
I didn't go in. I was in the car park. Yes, but and she appreciated the fact that some of the emails we got in were in favour of her staying on the show. But the third email we got did actually state that our episode was actually quite good. So there you go.
Do you know what? I'd love to see that review on a poster. Ben and Adam. On Doctor Who 20 Megabyte Podcast. Quite good.
That wasn't an actual quote from the email, but it was basically what the email implied. And
sorry. Quite good. I'm paraphrasing.
Yes, that's it, exactly. There is a bit of news that's come through that I hope I don't remember redo it when actually we record the rest of this show later on. And that is that Doctor Who is the most wanted programme to be transformed to 3D, according to recent poll from television manufacturer Panasonic. Apparently so.
Panasonic got a new 3D telly coming out that they want to...
I wonder if that could be the case. But I might not fuss if Doctor is in 3D. They won't make me go out and buy a 3D TV, unless, of course, I had enough money to do so. I'm not even sure that the BBC are planning releasing a 3D channel, are they? Have you heard anything on that one?
I've heard anything to do with that, no.
No. The BBC commenced their Christmas idents for the 2010 season on television. This is Saturday, December the 11th news, so a couple of days late. And it launches their trailer for Christmas Carol, which is a different trailer than one we've already seen on Children in Need.
Yeah. I saw a brief glimpse of something the other day. It was just ending as I turned the telly on, which was really annoying.
Yeah, so I haven't seen it at all, being that I obviously was away, and the television has been sort of rather... sort of dominated by X Factor and Strictly Come Dancing, and I don't mind Strictly Come Dancing, I love Strictly, but X Factor I just get totally in utter it. I did watch it because everybody else watched it, but I don't like it anymore.
Just slightly off topic, I have got to say that, you know, last night the final, it was, you know, really intense, really entertaining, you know, and I'm glad the right man won after all the setbacks he's had recently, so well done to John Higgins for winning the Super.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, I'm just saying about the setbacks. I mean, the main setback that Matt Cardle had on the X Factor, and I won't talk about this much on the Doctor Who podcast, but I do have to say this, that he did really well winning the competition, considering that this week he sung all his songs out of tune.
Yes.
And all the previous weeks was fine. There you go.
Do you know what? I hate that.
That's my phone.
Yes, see? Dogs agree with me. You mentioned it back then. They start going mental. They hate Simon Cowell.
That's because the front door's gone and I've got to go. Thanks, Ben.
All right.
See you next week.
See you, mate.
Bye.
Bye.
Now, I've tried absolutely everything to get my listeners to send in feedback of some variety, especially leading up to Christmas. It seems we might have overshot the Christmas message capabilities of this show. However, bribery apart, I do have a bag of jelly babies. If anyone sends in a particularly good bit of feedback, I will provide them with a bag of jelly babies. But for now, our feedback address is 20mb.feedback@gmail.com, or you can use the old one, which is 20megfeedback@hotmail.co.uk. That's the word 20, the word meg, the word feedback at hotmail.co.uk. You can join our Facebook group, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. You can add 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast as a friend on Facebook, or you can follow me on Twitter, and that's twitter.com/adam20mbpodcast. Or, of course, you can leave a message via the website, and the comment facility there, and on iTunes.
Are you deaf or something, Dad?
See the thing? This is the real Elise you can hear in the background.
On iTunes, you can also leave some comment or whatever
now.
Via that. And that would be really, really good.
Now.
So, without further ado, hopefully we'll have a show for you for Christmas Day. And thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Dad.
What?
Look what Isabel has done. This is what I put. Ready? You ready?
Yeah, what about it?
There's no music playing out of it. It thinks it's in a speaker.
We have to shut it down.
How do I do that when the button doesn't even work?
Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.
Seems to be working all right to me.